NBA Australia. How you going? That's right, it's NBA Australia. It's Friday, December 1st, TGIF, am I right? And I am your host, apparently a very throaty, sickish James Clements once more. I'm a writer, apparently, sometimes, for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie Rap, Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to pay me any of that sweet, sweet booze money. I'm here in Larry Armour Studios giving you the lowdown on who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA today. Not many are doing it too much better than LaMelo in the NBL as well. Anyway, we're breaking down, wrapping up every little bit of NBA action for you while repping Straya just a little bit, mate. Not taking shit too seriously, know what I'm saying? That's what we do here. So we've got four games to talk about today, a big weekend preview, and we've got bloody PDX Pete on for the entire show to talk quarter season awards. What's going on with his Blazers? All this other good shit. Excited, Pete?
Mate, I am keen as mustard to get going.
Dig it, all right. We've also got the usual dumbassery. That's not a knife. Oh, mate, no, mate. Spot of the night, pantsing the evening, better than Lonzo Ball. We've got, yeah, nah, we've got the unpopular opinion of the day. That's going to be the quarter season awards. I don't know how unpopular mine are. We've got Outback Takeout, got a flame grill take for you. There's also a rehashed Luke Longley Memorial bloke who just did their bloody job at Role Player All-Star Hall of Famer in honor of a specific Blazer that we're going to talk about at length today, as well as a pick and a preview for all the games over the entire weekend. Jesus, that's a lot. It's going to be pretty good. All right, big show for you. Got PDX Pete on board. Let's get to it. It's NBA Straight Episode 371. Let's go.
This is Matthew Dellavedova, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack!
You better. Better watch out for the attack of the Washington Wizards if you're the goddamn Philadelphia 76ers, PDX Pete. Did you know that they haven't won in Washington, like, for 10 straight games? It's fucking crazy.
I did not know that. Fun fact.
Weird shit. What else should you watch out for? I don't know, the attack of LeBron James if you're the refs, or a Utah announcer, like if you're Matt Harpering. LeBron came after him today. Anyway, that was some good shit. We got PDX Pete on board. We're going to do the daily... Wait, that's the wrong fucking thing. Nearly played the wrong thing. Jesus. Whip around, that's it.
Still got him.
Bit hungover from last night, PDX Pete. I'll tell you what, real big fish were pretty fucking great, but a lot of tins in between, so...
Yeah, yeesh. The scar will get you.
Really well. I love it. It was a really early show last night as well. And it's like basically they're playing to their crowd of like dads.
I was going to say, real big fish are pretty old, so they probably need to wrap that shit up so they can get to bed.
Exactly. They've got golf in the morning. Right, so a bit of news. I mean, the big things, obviously the Rockets, they've officially filed a protest from, Wednesday Australia Times, weird fucking shitty game against the Spurs. So they've got to conduct an investigation, basically, and they'll have to make a ruling on it. The deadline to protest is only 48 hours after the game, so they've done that. Good job. We're going to talk about that later, PDX Pete. LeBron going on walkabout, which is pretty funny. Here's what he had to say. He said, yeah, it was the worst thing ever. Probably one of the worst things I've ever done in my career. My brain just had a malfunction. Felt bad for the refs on it because they probably get a write-up on that one. I mean, also, what the fuck? It's pretty weird. And I don't know. We're going to talk about him later too. Finally, I don't know, it came out that Chris Paul basically called Daryl Morey a snake. Daryl told me a couple of days before he wouldn't trade me to OKC. And then Chris Paul somehow, magically, ended up in OKC. You hate to see it, Pete. You hate to see it.
It's so upsetting.
Couldn't happen to a better bloke. I'll tell you. All right. So let's do some game wraps. I don't know. Is there any other news that you want to talk about there, Pete? Anything off the top of your head?
No. All right. I think we're sweet. Can I just shout out and say Lakers fans are the worst? They are the fucking worst.
There was a...
Right, we'll continue.
There was a thing, I think, popped up on the old NBA Australia Facebook of that LeBron travel call of, like, someone talking about how it's like, oh, that happens on every possession, basically, when they inbound the ball. It's like, but, look, there's a bit of a difference between, like, inbounding the ball and before you're starting to dribble, like, taking one or two extra sort of just, you know, hop steps and getting going, as opposed to, like, walking the ball up the fucking court and then just, like, going for a six-step walkabout in the middle of it.
So,
Like, what the fuck?
Suddenly forgot how to dribble then was like, oh, yeah, I should probably jump back on that dribbling train.
As the ref's watching him. Ah, it's fucking great. Yeah. Oh, yeah, the other piece of news that popped up was that the sexual assault case against Luke Walton was apparently dropped. Kelly Tennant, who made the allegations, apparently dropped it and apparently didn't actually... she didn't, I believe, cooperate with the investigation by the Kings and NBA, I think. So, yeah, that's right. There we go.
I don't,
looking at it now, but...
I don't want to talk about that. It's a touchy subject, so...
Jesus. But also, fuck Luke Walton. What else? There we go. Not much. Let's get into some game wraps for today, then, Pete. I mean... interesting slate. You got Washington versus Philly. Washington win at 119-113, as I mentioned. Shit show of a game for the Sixers. They haven't won in 10 tries in Washington, which is fucking crazy because the Wizards have been shit for the last 10 times that the Sixers would have been there. So just gross. Like, they fell apart offensively. Simmons and Embiid were shithouse. And nothing really, like, Tobias Harris was really, really good, but nothing else came from anywhere. Without Joshy Richo. And with average Al Horford being a giant pussy, I mean, sometimes you'll find yourself in these games. They tried to come back, but their own ineptitude really kept biting them in the ass. So, Tobias, look.
Yeah.
He was hunting his shot in this one, Pete, which is pretty good. He had 33 on 13 of 28 points, which is a season high for Tobias. Pretty good. He's always a sort of passive kind of dude sometimes, but when he gets going, you're like, oh, here we go. And Embiid, though, you're like, all right, anytime that Embiid gets a 26-point, 21-rebound game, you're like, oh, shit, the Sixers are going to win this if Tobias drops in 33 as well. Yeah, nah, because Embiid had 8 turnovers as well. Simo had the same sort of thing, right? 17 points, 10 assists, 8 of 10 shooting. I don't know how it was one of the worst 17, 10, and 8 of 10 shooting games I've ever seen, but it was because he had 7 turnovers as well. Looked completely lackadaisical at times. Didn't give a fuck. Figured they could just walk in there and win it, and they didn't. So... bit shit. Average Al had 11-5. Got to get more out of him in those sorts of games as well, but he only took 8 shots. So, I don't know. Matisse got going a little bit. Raul Neto was a bit of a gun. Only really positive contributor off the bench as well for the Sixers, it felt like. 11 points in 12 minutes for him. Feel like he could have played a little bit more, but hey, that's our new Boomer head coach right there for you. Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Anyway, for the Wiz.
Yeah, I guess we can accept it's going to be average. So. Yeah, should be good.
Pretty excited for this. Davis Bertāns and his stupid Amish beard went fucking spare in the first half. He had 20, ended up with 25, made 7 threes. Jesus. Brad Beal had 26, 10 and 4. He was very good at times. Got fouled by Benny early on, which was some bullshit anti-Australian bias, I reckon. That was all ball, that one. Rui! Hachi Mura! Had 27 points. He was fucking grouse. Ish Smith had 19 and 8 without Isaiah Thomas playing. Washington, they're now 7-13. Philly dropped to 15-7. What are you doing, you dickheads? Houston, they beat Toronto. Now, I can't remember what I said on yesterday's show about Houston-Toronto, but I did sort of flip back and forth thinking Houston could bounce back from that Spurs game, come out on fire, which is exactly what they did. But then I'd figured Toronto would sort of catch them and beat them. Toronto caught them. Couldn't beat them, though, Pete. 119-109. The biggest lead I think Houston had was like 16 in this as well. And you're like, oh, shit, this game's over. But Toronto, look, they just stick around because they're fucking good. And Raps had 50 points in the paint to 28, but got out-rebounded, 54-45. Rockets took 10 more shots because of that, even with 22 turnovers. That's how you win a game. Right there, Pascal Siakam, 24-9, but that was 9 of 22 shooting. 2 of 8 from 3. Bit tricky. Fred VanVleet, the fighting VanVleet, he had 20-6 with 5 assists. Pretty good. 19-8 assists for Big Booty Guy Lowry. Looking a lot better in this game than he did in that first game back where he couldn't hit the side of a fucking bun. 0 of 11 from 3. That's a bit like, you know, that's my stats, PDXP. How about you? Are you good from deep?
Oh, I'm heaps good from deep.
Nice one. Got the got that shooter stroke. There we go. Norm had 14 off the bench.
You gotta shoot your shot.
Gusta. Norm had 14 off the bench. Rockets, Ben McLemore, thrift shop himself, had probably the best game of his career. 28 points. He was fucking great. 8 made threes. We're going to talk about him in a second. Harden had 23. Sure. 5 steals, though. Pretty good. Rusty Westbrook went 0 of 6 from downtown. I just love it when he shoots a 3 and you're like, just fuck it. I don't know, man. 19, 13, and 11. So another triple-double, but that's... I don't know. 18 and 11 for Paige Tucker. 13 rebounds for Clint Capela. And Danny Dr. House got in there as well. 16. Toronto have now lost two straight at home after not losing there all fucking year. 15 and 6. Houston 14 and 7. The Nuggets shit pump the Knickerbockers. Who cares about this? 129-92. It was 67-45 at the fucking half. Like, at that point, you just go home if you're a Knicks fan, don't you? You just go, look, what's going to happen? Are we going to come back? I don't care.
I'm surprised they're even showing up at this point.
Well, I'd be curious to, like, see some of the ticket prices for, like, some of the games where, like, you know, it's another half-decent team, but, like, no real super-duper star like the Nuggets. And I'd love to know what the prices were because it looked very fucking empty for a lot of this game. I mean, look, fuck, the Knicks, they're shit. 17 and 7 for the other Mitch Robinson. Everybody else was fucking horrible. Like, they just were. Nugs, they shot over 56% and over 53% from three. They hit 21 from downtown. That's fucking crazy. Monty, he had 15. Malik Beasley, 14. Jeremy Grant, 16. 11 and 11 for Plums. And that's the fucking bench. That's none of the starters. Some of them were all right. 6, 10 and 8 for Joker. 17 for Will the Thrill. Whatever, the Knicks fucking suck. They're 4 and 18. That's tied for the worst 22-game start in franchise history for them. 14 and 5 for Denver. Just cruising along. Only getting pantsed on the odd occasion. And finally, Suns beat the Pelicans in overtime. 139-132. This was a fun-ass game. Pals fought tooth and nail to get back in it. Had a chance to win it in regulation. Spindles missed it. Got it to overtime, though. Couldn't quite do anything in the overtime. And Lonzo got the absolute fucking bejesus blocked out of him by Oubre, which is pretty great. JJ Redick, one of the most hated men in the NBA. Now one of the most beloved, apparently. He hit 5 threes on his way to 26. Jrue Holiday had 23 points, 5 steals, 6 assists. Pretty good. Spindles. Oh, Spindles Ingram. Missed the game winner, had 21. Oh, but he's better than Ben Simmons. Lonzo had a fucking game, though. Good on him. 20 points, 11 assists, 6 of 9. Nice shooting. 4 of 5 from 3. Good on you. 7 turnovers, though, and blocked in overtime and lost them the game. So get that on the big jobs. Devo Booker. Didn't cop too many double teams in this one. 44 points. Pretty good. 9 assists, 5 made threes. Frank the Tank, he had 20 points, 6 rebounds. Cam Johnson, he's older than you, Pete. He had 18 points, 4 threes. Kelly Oubre Jr., he was all right too. 15 rebounds for Kelly. That's a girl's name, but still. Ricky Tiki Tata, Rupee, oh, 13 points and 15 assists. Look, Pelicans, I don't know. We're going to talk about this in a little bit, Pete, about, like, good teams tanking. And I kind of like where they're at the moment. 16 and 6. Flip it, reverse it, turn it around. 6 and 16. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I'll get Zion back. Say, which Pelicans are you talking about?
And Phoenix are 10 and 11. So the old no bangers, no Suns. Put that off for one day at least. So there you go. All right, the NBA Australia. Use your words, Jimmy. Approved performance of the night.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
Thrift Shop, Ben McLemore. What a fucking game, Pete. 28 points. This motherfucker. How is this? 9 of 18 shooting, 8 of 17 from 3. He was remarkable. That was pretty cool. Could give it to Thrift Shop. Could give it to Davis Bertans and his stupid beard. 7 made threes for him. Booker, though, 44, 8 rebounds, 9 assists, 2 steals. Made 5 threes and 11 shots. Pretty good. 13 of 24 overall. Made all 13 of his free throws. Pretty fucking good game, if you don't mind me saying. Who do you reckon wins that one, Pete? Who do you like out of those three?
Yeah, you can't go by Booker. He's on a shit team and he's always put up good numbers, but he just somehow manages to just consistently do it year after year after year, which is insane. But quick shout to McLemore though. No one would have seen this coming. Like I was surprised that he even showed up on a roster this year. And the fact that he's, you know, coming out, he was starting for a little bit, which is fucking insane.
Started in this game as well.
Yeah, I just didn't see this coming, so good for him. I'm glad that he found himself on a roster and he's finally thriving.
Good job, Thrift Shop. 28 points in 29 minutes. Not bad work if you can get it. Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no
mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Who's got no mates today? Ah, oh, geez, Pete, can you hear that? It's the sound of knives being sharpened in New York City. Because Fizz, not too many mates there in the middle of an 8-game losing streak. What did I say? What are they? 4-18? And it's like equal worst in franchise history for the Knicks. I don't know how they've taken a step back, but they have. And he came out today and like when it was asked about like, you know, 8-game losing streak, the fact that they're 4-18, that's actually worse than they were last year. He said, I don't care about all that. I don't even think about that. Well, I mean, maybe you should, Fizz. Just saying. Holy shit. This is the first time.
Give it a go.
Yeah, maybe.
Have a dabble.
Maybe just think about it fleetingly, perhaps. This was the first time in franchise history they've lost by 30-plus points in back-to-back games, which I found pretty fucking crazy. But also, they're now the 17th team in NBA history to lose consecutive games by 35-plus points, and the first team to do it since the horrible 2016-17 Atlanta Hawks, Kaká. So they got shit-pumped by 44 against the Bucks, and then turn around and get absolutely shit-pumped today as well. I don't know, man. New York, they're 30th in point differential. Fizdale, maybe you should care about that just a little bit. Just a little bit.
He's obviously not long for that job, but it amazes me that the only time that he can get them up to actually play a game and to play just a lick of defense is when fucking Porzingis is coming back to town. And, like, he's just a fucking kid. Like, get over it. You know, he left. But, Jesus Christ, the Knicks are a fucking dumpster fire.
They really are.
They're horrible.
And, he's definitely old mate, no mates, poor Fizz. And you just know he's the fall guy. They're not going to fire the fucking Steve Mills and the dipshits in charge. They're going to fire him first and then hopefully eventually fire the dipshits in charge. Spud of the night. Spud of the night. How about spuds of the night? I reckon it was just all of the sixes. Apart from Tobias Harris, 15 turnovers between Simo and Embiid was just fucked. It was gross. It was really actually bad to watch as well. wow. It was like, all right, so there's Tobias and four spuds out there. Fucking great. I still don't know how you can have a 26 and 21 game like Embiid did and have me watching it going, this is what? Ew. Gross. Anyway, bad game. Panting of the night. Look, Philly, every time they go to Washington, as I pointed out, 10 straight. They got beat by fucking Bertans. And now, beat by Bertans, I'm pretty sure that's like the Latvian beetroot factory that they sell, you know, beat by Bertans.
I got it. Thanks.
Thanks, man. And so they got beat by Bertans and Jan Mihinmi. I mean, that's just fucking embarrassing. Like, that's, you know, getting up to sing the fucking, I don't know, national anthem, embarrassing, and getting dacked by the assistant principal or something. Fucking hell. But Lonzo as well, getting up and going, all right, I've got the entire length of the fucking floor. Here we go. I'm going to get this. We're going to stay in this game. Nah, blocked by Oubre. Absolute pantsing to the point where Oubre just fucking slapped the shit out of the ball, kicked Lonzo's ass. Lonzo had no fucking clue. He's laying on the ground going, what the fuck just happened? It's like, you just got pants, Lonzo. Because you're a bitch. All right, speaking of which, better than Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. You're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody, Pete. How are your feelings on Lonzo this year, mate?
I mean, he's better-ish. He's still injury-prone as shit. Like, that's something that I feel like doesn't really get talked about Lonzo Ball. Like, I know everyone blamed his shoes after he came out and said that his shoes were shit and all whatever, but he's I don't know. I'm going to give him a couple of years. I was pretty harsh on him when he first came out as a rookie, mostly because of his dad, but he's still shit and needs to get better, I would say.
Yeah, look, so obviously leading a charge of anti-Lonzoism over here, as we have. Look, all I want is for him to be, like, good and healthy. Because it's way more fun if Lonzo Ball is, like, you know, better than Lonzo Ball, at least as a baseline of competency. You know what I'm saying? Because you can go, oh, shit, yeah. Which rookie or second year or third year guy did better than him today? And then you might actually have to try to find somebody. Whereas I could just go fucking, I don't know, of the 87 players who played, 85 of them were better than Lonzo today. Like I did, I think it was on, I think that was Wednesday. yeah, it was Wednesday because he went 2 of 12, which was fucking hilarious. But today, against fucking Phoenix, 20 points, 11 assists, 6 rebounds, 4 of 5 from deep. He was unreal. 3 steals, 2 blocks, but obviously had that big block against him, which kind of lost him the game, and 7 turnovers. So, you know, feast or famine. It's a lot of that with Lonzo. But better than Lonzo Ball today, I fucking love him. Japanese Jordan Pete. Rui Hachimura. 27 points, 11 of 18 shooting, 1 of 3 from downtown, 7 rebounds, 2 steals. Basically starting at fucking center for the Wizards at the moment. He's a gun. I love him. He's got some massive hops. He's a fucking legend. Rui, what do you reckon about that young Japanese? What was it? He went to Oregon or something, didn't he? Like a Washington?
No, no, no. He went to Gonzaga.
Oh, Zag. There you go.
Ooh. Yeah. Spokane, Washington.
Nice. How does the Pacific Northwest feel about the Zags?
Sure. I mean, Zach Collins, love him, but everyone else gives a fuck. I do like him, though, and he's going to come up as a answer of mine later in the podcast.
Awesome. Well, that was a good tease, because now we're going to go do Yeah, Nahs and the Unpopular Opinion of the Day with our quarter season awards right after, let's say, this one from Creaky.
This is Mitch Creek, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right. How's this going, Pete? You having fun?
Oh, mate, I couldn't be happier.
Well, you're going to have a kid in a couple of months, which is fucking wild. So
I got my own little squid coming along very soon. I'm shitting my pants.
Well, the good thing is they'll be shitting their pants as well soon enough for you, and then you got to deal with that as well. So it's a barrel of fucking laughs. I think I may have mentioned on yesterday's show I was looking after the squid all day yesterday, and turns out I had to look after him all day today as well because he's sick, which fucking sucks. So no doubt when you're listening to me next week on the show, I'll be sick as a fucking dog and complaining about that. So that'll be good. Yep. What's the biggest piece of advice people have given you about having a squid, Pete?
Sleep when you can.
Yeah, good one.
Which is, it seems pretty obvious, but I know that once it actually happens, they'll be like, oh, yeah, I can do whatever. I can stay up all night. It'll be great. I can't stay up all night. I'm pretty tired already, to be honest.
I'm tired right now. Yeah, good shit.
Yeah.
I think the sleep thing is pretty good. And also, like, make sure the food situation is, like, well thought of ahead of time in terms of, like, yourself and the missus. Like, I remember...
Yeah, I feel like as long as I can keep her happy, then... everything's going to be good.
Yeah, you'd be laughing. All right, let's do some Yeah, Nahs. We're going to take a quick bunch of NBA storylines. I've got a couple for you, and then we tossed around a couple before the show as well. So we'll smash these out. So, Yeah, Nahs, pretty obvious. We decide whether they're more Yeah or more Nah. PDX Pete, does David Fizdale deserve to get shit canned? Yeah, Nah.
Yeah, no, I think he does. I think the New York Knicks are a fucking joke this year. The fact that they signed about 15 power forwards, to their roster, and just they can't seem to get up for any fucking game. It is it's a bit of a joke.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I feel a little bit sorry for him because he's working for the New York Knicks of New York, and he was always destined to fail. So I feel bad for him. Yeah, no, he doesn't deserve to have a job.
Yeah, so. It's like, it's tough, right? But because I think Fizdale's a good coach, but evidence is sort of showing maybe not that great. Like Frankie Smokes, Noxie, Dennis Smith Jr., like, I don't know, show me some growth, you know? Like Mitch Robinson's foul rate has dropped a little bit, so that's okay. But I mean, that and then all, so you got all this young talent, then you got all these vets who you brought in to apparently just like, I don't know, help kind of. Help show them the way, maybe. And the fucking, like, proof of that is 4-18. Like, that's... It's not like, you know, The Mandalorian, this is the way. It's like, if you've got Bobby Portis and Julius Randle showing you this is the way, like, I'm not sure if that's the way you want to go, right? So, Fizz...
Yeah.
I don't know. It feels inevitable now, and he kind of got handed a shit deal, but not that shit of a deal. He's got, like, a bunch of young talent. All he has to do is show, like, something, right? And
to be fair, though, you would think, like, he was pretty excited when he thought he was getting fucking Kyrie and KD.
Yeah, true.
And then that didn't happen. And then, you know, the roster was put in front of him and he was just like, I mean, I could probably work with RJ Barrett, but what else, you know?
I mean, you do
everything else is shit out.
Got a lot of top 10 picks on that roster, though. You got Noxie, Frankie Smokes, DSJ. And, like, you don't have to go out and set the world on fire, but you do have to, like, show us something. And 4-18 is not much. Next one. Will more teams pull a Spurs / pull a Golden State and have a gap year when one of their main dudes or two of their main dudes goes out injured, so they're purposely shit to, you know, get a big old fucking juicy draft pick or package a pick with some other talent to get even better? Do you reckon they'll take that one weird shitty year, Pete? Yeah, nah.
Yeah, I think, honestly, when the Spurs did it, everyone was like, holy fuck, like, can't believe they did it, blah, blah, blah. But then you watch the Warriors this year and you think, that might actually fucking work out really well for them. Like you said, they could package that really high pick. They're literally going for less than 10 wins this entire season, I think. So if they can get the number one pick and package it and make their team fucking great again, why not? You know, it seems like a win-win for everyone. Go right ahead. So
yeah, it's weird.
I don't see why it wouldn't be a good way to do things for those big franchises.
Well, I think it's also hard because I think the Knicks have had a 7-year gap year, you know, and they're still shit. But there's teams like, you look at it, Brooklyn should actually sort of be doing that right now and like keeping Kyrie on the shelf. And keeping Sweet Baby Carrots LeVert on the shelf for like another year, because there's no other way you're going to be able to add talent to that team, especially paying fucking DeAndre Jordan $40 million, etc. But like, they're just a little bit too good, even without Kyrie and without Carrots and without KD, obviously. So you've also got to sit there and go, well, hopefully that when all those dudes come back, we're a fucking gun team. But you kind of do think they're missing just one extra little bit. But Detroit should probably do that, like go, oh, Blake's out. Oh, Andre's hurt. We fired Reggie Jackson into the sun. I don't know. Orlando, same sort of thing. Portland definitely should, right? Like, because you've just got no way to add really good talent when you're that capped out. But
don't even get me started, mate.
Yeah. But I think teams would like to do it more, but it's really fucking hard to be like as bad as Golden State can be, right? Because all Golden State were was top-end talent, with Clay, KD, Draymond, Steph. And it's like a weird sort of unique position where they have to trade Andre. They get D'Angelo back in the KD leaving thing, but Steph obviously goes down straight at the start of the year. Clay's already out. So you have to be in like the weird, unique position where you kind of lose like three out of your four best players and the rest of your roster is so shit because you've only got enough money to pay for like, you know, four pretty decent players. And you're also an old veteran team where a bunch of other ones retire, like they had with Sean Livingston and like having to move Andre, et cetera. So, yeah, it's pretty unique. And obviously the fact that Spurs got to do it, Golden State get to do it again, I just think it's pretty hard to really do it well because it's just such a unique position.
You could do it. It's just not easy to do it well.
Yep.
As a sidebar, do you think everyone's like, holy shit, the Warriors are going bad. And then they're like, oh, wait, D'Angelo Russell's back. And the Warriors are like, go out there, D'Angelo, have fun, you know.
Just go and like, play your game.
Shoot your shot, bud. It's going to go great. Like, it's not going to change their record in any way, shape, or form.
No, he's D'Angelo Russell. He's not Steph, you know? That's how it goes. I think it's like playing perfectly into the tanking purposes. And, you know, if he's good individually and they keep losing, that's fucking great because you can maybe trade him for something sweet. So, But there you go. I like it. It's a really interesting concept, but... yeah, you sort of look at some of these middle teams and go, man, if you could just like end up with like a really awesome top tier talent, you'd be fucking laughing. But yeah, pretty hard. Now, one you posited, look, the Blazers guaranteeing Melo's contract for the rest of the season. PDX Pete, should they have? Yeah, nah.
Yeah, they should have. They definitely should have. And in between me positing that question to you and now, they actually have done that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad they have. And this is why I have some small little statistics that I've put together for you that I think should really bolster my argument. So Mario Hezonja, in the last 10 games, Mario Hezonja, Anthony Tolliver, and Baze Gaze, all of their statistics in points, rebounds, and assists put together are less than Melo's by himself in the last 10 games.
You become one of the world's biggest Carmelo convert is one of my favorite twists of this season. This is fucking great.
Trust me, There is no one that hated Melo more than me at the start of this season. But seeing him, I like to call his rebounds, get the fuck out, I got it, rebound.
Yep. Because that's literally what he screams at Hassan, right?
Literally every time. He's the worst at, I thought Russell Westbrook was the worst at like hogging rebounds from like better rebounders than him, but Melo might be worse.
Yeah, like Melo's actually got no reason to be doing it either. It's like, Melo, you should be really getting back on defense because you're not going to be bringing the ball up. Get the fuck out of here, you idiot. What the shit?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, there was a play last night against the Kings where he went up and he had about four goes at a shot and then rebounded it and then went back up and then down and then up and down and finally made it. But I was like, oh, yeah, that's Melo. That's like the best Melo that we can get, but he's still contributing better than fucking 2/3 of our bench combined.
Yep.
So yeah, I'll take that. You know, we've gone 5-5 since we've signed him, and that's probably better than I assumed it was going to go when we signed him. So I'll take it. You know, cool. Melo's on our team. Let's just not talk about it.
Love it. This is like really falling within the fuck it Friday sort of idea. Of PDXP just going, fuck it. We've got Mallow. Who gives a shit? This is going to be grouse.
Yeah.
Net positive so far, which is cool. Pretty weird.
No. Net 50-50. He's not positive. It's like, yeah, he goes out and he scores all these great points and everything's great, but also he's Mallow, and you remember that he's Mallow about 20 times a game. So, yeah, he's a net neutral, I would say.
But that's better than Hazonia, Tolliver and co. combined. So good shit. Nice one. Well, there was also the idea of the so we mentioned at the top about the Houston Spurs thing. Pete, should they replay that last 7:50 of that fucking Rockets Spurs game? Yeah, nah.
Absolutely fucking not. I can't believe it's even a question. It's ridiculous. Like, refs make mistakes, and I get it. And a huge mistake is letting LeBron fucking take more steps than, I don't know, anyone doing like a bloody marathon. But it is unbelievable that we would try and replay the last 7 minutes of a game when they're 15 points up and they ended up fucking screwing up that last, losing their 15-point lead, fucking screwing the pooch, and then suddenly they want to replay it because something was missed. Like, fuck that. That's bullshit. Yeah. And of all the teams in the NBA that would cry foul and want something to just be absolutely changed and you know, this isn't fair. You do this to us all the time. Obviously, it's going to be Houston. And I think that they deserve it. And I just love seeing it. So fuck them. And it's not going to get replayed.
Yep. Yeah, we don't replay games where like a ref misses a obvious goaltending call, you know, which is the same thing. Like, just because it was like a pretty sick dunk where it clearly went through and then back up and over and it's just like a really blatant referee fuck up. Like, this happens like not so much on the reg, but it happens enough where you're like, well, that was a goaltend and like the refs just missed it. Like, not everyone's filing fucking complaints and, like, demanding the goddamn game be replayed, you know? So, I don't know. It's pretty funny. It's pretty weird that it is chaos, and that's fucking the best. So, good stuff.
But it's just so Houston, which is
so
ridiculous.
Houston. It's like, oh, we looked at all the things, and you did bad against us, so we want you to change what happened and give us the win. And I'm going to tell my dad, I guess. I mean, whatever.
He touched my beard. It's ridiculous.
Nice. Have you got a trade idea to help out the Blazers? What do you reckon?
I do. Actually, can we do yours first? Because I'm very interested to hear what you think about mine, but I want to hear yours first.
All right. So a bit more fuck it Friday for you. Would you do this trade for the Blazers? Yeah, nah. Kevin Love for Nasir Little and Hassan Whiteside. As soon as you know that Nurkic is coming back, I'm saying goodbye to Winj and Hassan, saying goodbye to Nasir. Maybe even your first this year, perhaps, if Cleveland demand it and don't want to give up Love. They want to get a draft pick at least back. But yeah, K-Love for Little, Whiteside, maybe a first as well. Yeah, nah.
Nah, I wouldn't do that.
All right, checks out.
I think Kevin Love, I mean, when we do see him play, he's okay, but he's not great. He's definitely on the tail end of his career, and I don't think he's going to help as much as people think on paper that he will. And plus, you know, obviously the Blazers have been pretty shithouse and injured, and Nassir Little's been getting a lot more play than he probably should have as a rookie. But he's actually been one of our highest energy guys and has been doing some great things. He had an awesome block on Siakam in the Toronto game, if you saw that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think he's not someone that I would just throw away in a quick trade trying to get something in a help now. I think that'd be someone more like Mario Hezonja, Anthony Tolliver, Baze Gaze. What about Gary Trent Jr.? He might be someone that's a throw in. You know, any of those guys, I think I would do one of those trades. But yeah, no, I think I want to keep hold of Nassir Little for a little bit longer.
Yeah, I mean, you got to give the Cavs something though. Like, they're not going to take Whiteside back and just be like, all right, cool, we got rid of Love, I guess, and his big contract, but whatever.
What are you talking about? The guy averages a double-double. He's amazing. He shows so much energy on the court. He's so incredible.
Did you see Wynjin Hassan's weird video about him yelling at a starfish and calling it Patrick? Like, it was, where's SpongeBob, Patrick? And I was like, I'm not convinced Hassan's
all there.
The sharpest tool in the shed, you know what I'm saying? Anyway.
Yeah.
All right, what's your trade idea to help out the Blazers? And then I'll give it a yeah, nah for you.
Okay, yeah, nah. Who says no? Blazers send out Bazemore, Gary Trent Jr. and a first to the Phoenix Suns for Kelly Oubre Jr. and Bangers.
Oh, Phoenix wouldn't do it. Not in a heartbeat.
So, why?
Nah. Now, Phoenix are just finally realizing that they've got a good young wing who's 23 and a fucking bit of a gun next to Booker. So, and especially Bangers as well. He's basically the world's greatest unicorn. So, yeah, they'd have to give up a bit more than that.
All right.
Because I think Phoenix as well, I feel like the reason they signed dudes like Rubio and Bangers was specifically because they were sick of tanking. And, like, even if you get Portland's first rounder, I think they hit a point where they're like, we're done with draft picks. Fuck it. Like, that's why they took Cam Johnson this year as well, right? He's like 47 years old. It's like, fuck it.
They're shit at drafting.
Yeah, they suck at it as well.
Phoenix are horrible at drafting.
Yeah, fuck it. It's been the dumbest, like, rebuild in the history of the world. They're lucky they hit on, like, Booker, and that was maybe, eight, and he was the number one fucking pick, but they've still overlooked Luka anyway, right? So, yeah. So I think Phoenix say no to that. Yeah, he'd be like, a dude like Oubre is like the ideal sort of fit on the Blazers, right? Weirdly enough, Harkless would be the ideal sort of fit.
Yeah, how could you be so heartless? I was devastated when we got rid of him. He wasn't my favorite player the last couple of years, but we are glaring at wing defense right now. Glaringly obvious fucking hole in our team.
Yep.
And we definitely need some help there. So
there you go. Trevor Ariza, once he finally gets bought out. nice one.
You know, I'm not that desperate.
Him and his veteran presence. Have you got any other ones for me? What do you reckon?
No, that's it. That's my one that I've got both fingers and toes crossed for.
Love it. Yeah, you just basically need wing depth. That's pretty obvious. So, all right, let's do some. It's Fuck It Friday. Let's do our quarter season awards. PDXP. It's the unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
Now we're going to fly through this. Quarter season awards, just belatedly realize that it's bang on the quarter season for most teams at the moment. We're going to do the normal fucking stupid nerd awards, and then we'll do a couple of the old NBA Australia ones. I might throw another one at the end. Bloke you'd most want to have a beer with. Yeah. Might think about that one.
Speaking of. There you go.
There you go. Nice one. What sort of IPA are you drinking? Good drop. Up there in the Pacific Northwest.
It's a Heliotrope by Colchin Brewing.
Nice.
It's actually quite tasty.
Sounds good. I was on the Mountain Goat Summer Ales yesterday, and I'll be back on them tonight. I'm pretty just fucking TGIF as fuck at the moment. As soon as the squid goes to bed, I'm going to cook up a Aaron Banger's Bane's recipe Luxa and knock back a few tins.
Nice.
All right, quarter season awards, PDX Pete, who is your MVP so far into this season? Who you got?
Giannis.
Yeah, I've got Giannis as well, beating out Luka and Harden. And, like, I know, all of these awards, I told you just to basically come up with the name that first comes off the top of your head. I've done the exact same thing. Giannis is just fucking crushing it, right? He's the third player in NBA history.
Monster.
He's averaging 30 and 10 rebounds over a 13-game span in which his team has won all of those games. The other ones were Shaq and Kareem. Fucking hell. And they both went on to win the MVP in their seasons as well. So, checks out. He's just a fucking monster. Everything he does is just terrifying. He hits 4 threes in that game yesterday. It's like, what the fuck can't he do now then? Jesus Christ. Yeah. So it's pretty terrifying. Fun to watch, especially when it gets into it like he did yesterday with Blake, where it's like, I would kill that motherfucker. It's like, I'm pretty sure you would, yeah. Giannis. Like,
yeah.
Some, this is Sparta shit, you know, just kick him into a fucking hole.
I mean, just in the last couple of days, seeing him dunk the shit all over Julius Randle with that spin move and then just going up over him. Not saying that Julius Randle is the greatest defender of all time, but, and then, yeah, just Blake trying to, like, nitpick at him and Giannis just being like, dude, no. Like, your time is over. This is my league now, and I get to do what I want, you know, and, yeah. Him hitting threes now, it's like we've been saying for years, like if he learns how to shoot properly and he can, you know, consistently step into that three and knock it down, then there's nothing that no one can stop him. And this might be the year, you know, that he just goes fucking nuts, yeah. and hits everything and is unstoppable. And it just happens to be the year that everyone seems to be scoring 40 points a game or whatever,
which is like crazy.
Consistently hitting huge nights, but. Yeah, no, Giannis is definitely the MVP for me so far.
It is weird. I mean, like, everyone brings this up all the time, but the fact that he was MVP last year and he's gotten better is just fucking wild. So, Rookie of the Year, PDX Pete, who you got?
Well, so I have Ja Morant, but Rui Hachimura is definitely a close second for me. He's just explosive. He's amazing. The Wizards definitely, like, took a flyer on him, and he's incredible, you know. He's definitely showed up, and that Wizards team is shit, but he just, you know, he's coming out and doing his thing. So, shouts to him. You know, I hope that he can keep it going for the rest of the year. And yeah, he's been amazing.
Yeah, I'm gonna give it, like, my first thought was Ja, and then I'm like, he was really, really, really. He's so fucking fun to watch. And then I'm like, actually, I feel like just because they're always on TV still, it's the Warriors. Eric Paschal, holy shit, he's been fucking good. Like, out of nowhere, the Warriors have another fucking second rounder who kicks ass and takes names. Kendrick Lamar Nunn has been pretty good as well for the old Heaters. And I bought myself a fucking, I hate Miami and the Heat. Like, I'm assuming Miami's a lovely town. I've never been. Never made it that far south in Florida, which is kind of weird. Been to Orlando, been to West Palm Beach. Never been to Miami. Weird. Anyway, Kendrick Lamar Nunn's cool, and I bought myself a fucking Miami Heat hat yesterday because it's fucking beautiful. It's like the reverse Miami Vice colors, so it's blue with the hot pink coloring, and it's fucking grouse. I'll be rocking the shit
I love
out
those
of that.
Jerseys.
Yeah, great jerseys.
I love those.
Even better
those
hat.
Those black jerseys.
And then, yeah, so I've got Paschal, Kendrick Lamar Nunn, Ja Rui Hachimura. He's been fucking unreal. I've loved watching him lately. And also, number one in my heart, Kobe White. Him and his fucking hair. What a legend. I fucking love him. So that's pretty cool.
It's insane.
Yeah, a lot of fun rookies so far.
He might be the first player that the NBA are like, hey, mate, can you just bring this back a little? Can you?
If they didn't do it to Elfrid Payton when he had that stupid thing hanging over his fucking eyes when he was in Orlando, they're not going to do it to Kobe. But
it's like 2 square feet on each side of his fucking head. You would think at some point some player's going to run through it and be like, I'm lost, you know.
I love it. Also, Tyler, there goes my hero. He's been fucking good too. So who you've got for most improved, PDX Pete?
Devonta Graham, I think.
Great call. He's I had him wild. On my list as well. I had him second. I've got Bangers number one just because it was the first one. I'm like, he's been fucking unreal. And Devontae Graham's been incredible. And then I've got Siakam, back-to-back most improved. But he's sort of he's had a couple of, like, speed humps here and there, Siakam, where the usage clearly sort of just got down on him a little bit, especially with Lowry out. But I feel like Siakam will still be really good. But Bang is obviously like dropping threes. He's already hit more threes than he'd hit all of last year. That's great. But yeah, yours is a good call. So it's not bad.
Who do you think, weird question, sidebar, who do you think sets a better screen, Steven Adams or Bangers?
I kind of want...
I reckon they have to be the two best screeners in the entire game.
Well, Bangers is probably now more dangerous, right? Because he can pick and pop once he sets that right. pick. But Adams, I feel like, is just like running in. Like, and I love Bangers. But at least, like, Steven Adams is also very fucking tall. And
yeah.
I just feel like it'd be like running literally into, like, Bangers might be a cement truck, but Steven Adams might be like a fucking freight train. So, But yeah, the most improved, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Pretty fun. Devontae Graham's been fucking great.
It's going to come down to the end, I think.
Yeah. But Devontae Graham, absolutely legendary, and it's now hilarious considering they paid Terry Rozier all that money. Defensive player of the year, who you got there, Pete?
I've got Ben Simmons.
Oh, love this. He didn't even make my list, even though he's leading the NBA in steals. I've got Bam Adebayo, and because he has been literally everything for Miami, and Miami are really good.
Yeah.
So, they've just also got like a lot of really good sort of like you've got Justice Winslow, Jimmy Butts, but funneling them into Bam, and he's just fucking crushing motherfuckers. So that's pretty cool. Johnny Isaac and Giannis were my other top choices. And then, yeah, Ben Simmons is a good one though. That's nice one. Sixth man of the year, Sweet Lou is probably, you know, everyone's sort of cool. What do you reckon? Who have you got?
I got Montrezl Harrell.
I've got Trez as well. How good is that?
Okay. I didn't want to go Sweet Lou because, you know, it's like going for, you know, Crawford every year.
Yeah.
Like, you just have to, you just got to go for someone else. So, yeah, I went with Trez Harrell. But literally, they should give the award to both of them.
Yep.
Just like last year. They're a 1-2 punch off the bench and they're just killing teams. So.
Yep. I love it. That's awesome. Coach, I've got Nick Nurse. Who have you got?
I've got Buds.
Yep. I had Buds second and then Vogel, which is hilarious.
He's just made Milwaukee Milwaukee are just incredible this year. They're just unstoppable and, you know, it's all down to him, I'd say. So.
Yep. So the NBA Australia Actual Awards, favorite team to watch so far this year, Pete, who have you enjoyed the most?
Fun to watch is like Phoenix, you know, just the games that they win are just incredible. Like same as Philadelphia, the games they win when they're just on fire on defense and teams just can't score against them and they're exciting on both ends. But I have to come down to the Portland Trailblazers is my favorite team to watch.
That seems pretty on brand for PDX Pete. I've got Dallas. Dallas, yeah. Just by
no,
so much.
Dallas.
It's fucking crazy because A, Luke is doing crazy shit all the time. And also you get to watch Porzingis sort of try to figure out how to remember how to play basketball again.
I was going to say, how long do you think it's going to be before Porzingis figures out how to play ball again?
It's been like, he was out for basically like 20 months. So I feel like, shake off the rust, get the shot going again. But it's going to be like interesting because he's now got like, oddly enough, having played for the Knicks in New York, he's now got seemingly almost a bigger spotlight on him because of how good Luka is right now. Everyone's paying attention to it and then looking at Zinger and going, hey, Extreme Zinger Meal, what are you doing, mate?
Extreme Zinger Meal.
And he's like, not fighting Russians is what they do. But yeah, I actually had the Suns written down as well. When Bangers is healthy, they're fucking great. Memphis with Ja. I think we talked about this with Chris last week on Fuck It Friday, that they're great to watch for a half of the Grizzlies. Like, because they'll probably shit the bed in another half. Or you might be watching them shit the bed in that half, but like a half of a game is really fun to watch Memphis for. Charlotte, same sort of stuff. The Clippers, when they're wearing the Grand Theft Auto Clippers jerseys, that's always fun. But yeah, Dallas and the Suns are probably my favorite two teams to watch this year. Boston haven't been too bad either, just because without Gordo, it's just a lot more fun to watch them. And without Kyrie, obviously. So least favorite teams to actually watch, though. Who have you got there, PDX Pete?
I still cannot stand to watch Houston Rockets.
The hate is strong in this one. I love it.
I can't. I just, like, they took the one other player that I really can't stand to watch and added him to their team, and it just makes it even worse. So, yeah, no, anytime I see that Houston are playing anyone, I just turn it off. I just don't want to watch. Not interested.
Well, I just mentioned Kyrie, and my least favorite teams to watch at the moment are the Knicks. like, I can't even hate watch the Knicks, the Bulls and the Nets, because if you listen to this show regularly, you know my hatred for the Knicks, the Bulls and the Nets just run strong just because they're so consistently inconsistent that it's infuriating because there's no rhyme or reason to it usually. tonight
James,
we're going to be shit.
But like, James, I thought Brooklyn were your favorite team. you had season tickets.
Actually, so I was wearing my Brooklyn Nets hat yesterday. I've got a couple of them, you know, 5 years of season tickets. You end up wearing a couple of different hats. And so you're a Nets fan. I'm like, nah, just a cool hat.
That's all I got from it.
Yeah, it's all good. Biggest spud so far for the year for you. Who have you got?
James Harden, because of his face.
Good call. Good call. I've got Mike Conley. He's spudded up pretty hard. Called Lonzo. Nick Batum.
Yeah.
Just a reminder that Nick Batum is making $25 million bucks a year to average
still
3 points.
Still in the league.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I don't want to harp on him and like keep bashing him, but Jordan Poole on course to have a record-settingly like the worst shooting year in NBA history. So poor Jordan Poole. Pretty spud-worthy, yeah. But come on, yeah. He's a rookie. Like, I can't bash him too hard.
He's a rookie and he's playing for a team that wants to shoot. Yeah, so give him a go.
Nice one. And bloke you most want to have a beer with after the first quarter of the season, who do you reckon that is, PDXP?
The Queenslander in me wants to say Bangers Baines, but the Portlander in me wants to say Dame Lillard. Nice. Because he is an absolute fucking legend.
Yeah, that's awesome. There's, you know, I think SportsCenter have been flogging Dame for the last couple of days, haven't they? Because they've got like a big thing on the under.
Yeah, he's on the ESPN cover or some shit.
Yep. And that's nice, though. They're talking about like his awesome big barbecue that he does in Oakland every summer and all that sort of stuff and looking after underprivileged kids and shit. It's fucking great. Good on you, Dame. Bloke I most want to have a beer with is probably going to have to wait a year or two because it's Kobe White. I fucking love the guy. He's just a ray of sunshine in my life. I fucking love him. So
yeah,
it's pretty good.
Only problem is post 2 years, you won't be able to cheers him because his head is going to be further than his arm reach for this beer.
He won't be able to get into the bar. He won't be able to fit through the fucking door.
Yeah, right.
Let's take a step into Outback Takehouse, PDXP. Because it's Friday at Outback, and you know what that means? Ice cold 4-for-1 TGIF Foster's Oil Drum Cans. That's right. No prick back in Australia drinks his horse piss, but we flog it onto you Yanks and say that it's Australian for beer. Or some other dumb shit. Anyway, goes great with the flame grill take. And today's flame grill take is... the Knicks are actually super smart. That's why they signed 87 power forwards in the offseason. Because they're taking another gap year this year. After taking one in 2016. And 2017. And 2018. The Knicks. Galaxy brain. Smarter than everybody else. Only at Outback. What do you reckon about that one, Pete? Not a bad take. They're so smart. They're loading up.
That's why I don't go to Outback Takeout. I mean, Takeout.
Checks out. All right. Let's go into the Australian Player Watch. We'll just take a quick break and be back in just a second after this.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff. And you're listening to NBA Australia.
Oh, right. Jeez, it'd be nice to get rowdy out there, but Dallas are too fucking healthy. It's a bit of a shame. They need to make a couple little trades, open up some space on the floor for him. Only one Aussie in action today. It was Big Simo. I mentioned him earlier. 17 points, 5 rebounds, 10 assists. Pretty good. 3 steals, 8 of 10 shooting. That's not bad, Jimmy. Yeah, but also 7 turnovers and one of the... just most lackadaisical, non-aggressive, passive bullshit games you'd watch someone play against the Washington Wizards. So, fuck that noise. And obviously, Aaron Bangers Bane still out with a calf strain. Didn't travel, I think, with the team either. They were on the road, so you don't want to jump on a plane when you've got a calf strain there, PDX Pete. Jesus, don't want a deep vein thrombosis, you know?
Yeah, do they make compression pants for people that big?
I don't think so. Yeah, if they would, like, get one over his wood. Finally, this is a rehash of the old Luke Longley Memorial bloke who just did their bloody job role player Hall of Fame award. And it's in honor of PDX Pete because it's Kevin Duckworth. That was a bloke who could defend the pick and roll. He was the last double zero for the Blazers. Until that was taken over by one Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo.
Well, to be fair, Ennis Cantor took it last year, and everyone was bloody up in arms, like, oh, how can this dick from Turkey come in and take Duckworth's number? And then Carmelo just comes in with his, like, infinity is everything, blah, 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 bullet points for days about why double zero is the best. There's never going to be another Kevin Duckworth. So.
Remember, Duckworth was an all-star, which is pretty, like, two times, I think, as well. He averaged like 18 and 8 in his third year. He was a fucking gun. Unfortunately, wasn't a gun for very long and then was very shit and got very fat and unfortunately died very young. But there was a guy who fucking just did his job, just like Luke Longley. Might even call him a precursor to Luke Longley, really. You know, played center for a couple of finals teams and away you go. So good shit, Kevin Duckworth.
And then got fat and then got shit.
Well, Longley didn't get fat while he was playing too much, really.
Mate, I met him in person. He was not a thin man, I would say.
Yeah, his last season in New York and in Phoenix, wasn't that svelte, but anyway. Nice one. Patty Mills Game Day Baller, Game Day Twitter check in. Do you reckon Patty's tweeted out today, Pete? I really hope he has, because I didn't check.
Probably not. After you sweeping through his Instagram yesterday, I think times are getting dire.
Jesus. Nothing new from Patty today. Oh, but there was a deli one, and actually there was a great deli one because I think they basically had a day off the old Cavs. So Deli and a couple of them went down to hang out with some kids at the children's clinic at the hospital. There we go. Cavs tweeted out, Nico has some new autographs for his Cleveland Clinic's kids' room wall. Kevin Porter Jr., John Henson, Deli, and Coach Beeline. And his wife, Kathleen, dropped by to wish he and his dad a happy holiday. Deli tweeted that out with a love heart. But the best one was, Deli today, this morning, retweeted Matt Bracconi, who tweeted at Deli and the Cavs saying, my wife is pregnant and won't let me name the baby Chedeli in honor of Chetty Osman and Matthew Deli. Please advise. Deli replied, listen to your wife. Congratulations. Thumbs up. To which I then said, fuck it. Why are you calling it Chedeli? Just call the fucking thing Deli. Nice one. So I'm assuming your firstborn's going to be some version of Carmelo, PDX Pete.
No, it's going to be after our favourite Australian son that played in Portland while I was here when I first moved here, Patrick Mills.
I love it. Not bad. Sweet. All right. Do you want to do some picks with us? What do you reckon?
Go for it.
Let's do it. Do some game previews for the entire weekend. Let's do it.
Game previews. Game previews.
Thanks, Inadvertent Bane. My throat's pretty fucking sore, so I'm basically feeling like Bane at the moment. So today we went 1 of 4, which is a bit shit. We went 8 of 10 yesterday. But anyway, 170 of 306 for the year, which is fucking pretty good, I'll tell you what. Anyway, so tomorrow, let's have a look. Who have we got? We've got Pacers at Pistons. Whoa. What do you reckon? Pacers are favored by 3 on the road, Pete. Who you got there?
I'd take Pacers, for sure.
Yeah, I will too. The Pistons are a shit show. Even at home.
Absolutely.
And the Pacers are actually sneaky, pretty fucking good. A bit of a shit show in Cleveland. That's right, Stephen A. Smith.
Cleveland.
Orlando. Going to Cleveland. This is a game I will not watch. Cavs are 3.5-point underdogs at home. Do you take them or do you take the Magic, Pete?
Magic, for sure.
Magic favored by 3.5. They're actually pretty competent, and the Cavs are not at the moment. So there you go. Brooklyn go up against Charlotte again. Having a nice little run of playing shitty teams of Brooklyn. Brooklyn are favored by 2.5. I think I'll take Brooklyn -2.5 against Charlotte, though I don't feel confident in it because Charlotte can sort of beat anybody specifically at home, and Brooklyn can lose to anybody anywhere.
Yeah, I'm going to take Charlotte. Yeah. I just think they pulled out some games this year that you didn't think they were going to win. And, you know, with Devontae Graham hitting 10 threes the other day, anything could happen.
You know what? I'm going to go Charlotte as well. I am not enjoying this Brooklyn Nets stuff. Minnesota at OKC. Minnesota are 3-point underdogs on the road in OKC, which is pretty crazy, pretty weird to think about. And then you realize that Minnesota lost the other day to Dallas on a back-to-back, and you're like, oh, yeah, Minnesota are kind of shit. So, I don't know. OKC, 3 points at home. You like that, Pete?
I'm going to take Minnesota. I think Wiggins has been surprising this year, and maybe he can keep it going.
Yeah, I feel like Cat and Wigo might be just a little bit too much for the Thunder. And if you're getting 3 points for the Wolves, I think I'll take that as well. Because I think even if OKC pull this out, it'll be like by one or two and it'll be really close. So Wizards at Heat. Wiz on a back-to-back. Heat a favorite at home by 10.5 points. It seems like a lot. And I think I'm going to take the 10.5 for the Heat because I think they absolutely fucking shit-pumped the Wizards on a back-to-back. Wizards don't play any defense. Philly lost to them today because they can't play any offense, whereas Miami can score, and I think they kill Washington. What do you reckon, Pete?
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice one. Warriors at Bulls. Bulls are favored by 5.
That is not a game that I want to watch.
That's also a tough
pick. That's going to be a horrible game.
It's a tough pick because I feel like the Warriors could play them tight, but you never know with the Bulls. They could also just kill them. So I might just go the Bulls minus 5 at home. Go for it.
Sure. I'll jump on that.
Nice one. Nuggets at Boston. This is a fucking game. Boston, favored by 3.5 at home. Really excited for this one. This should be good. Who do you like there?
Yeah, I think I'd take Boston at home. They've been playing really well lately. Denver, they seem to be getting back into the groove a little bit, but I think they haven't really hit their straps yet, and they're going to get a lot better as we get closer to the end of the season. So, yeah, I'll take Boston.
I might take the Nuggets just because I feel like they've got no one who can really guard Joker on Boston. I mean, maybe Tice, but yeah, I don't like the look of that. I feel like the Nuggets might just get a sneaky one here. And even if it's just plus 3.5, I think it's pretty close. So.
Yeah, Jokic just hasn't been playing that well.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Really, since the start of the season. Like, he really needs to get his ass into gear.
Yeah. And I mean, not for me to tell anyone to get into shape, because Jesus Christ, I took fucking dad bod and just rolled with it pretty hardcore, I'll tell you what.
I can't wait for that.
I've been working on my dad bod all my life. And then actually, you know, 12 months of being a dad, just beautiful. Other really, 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 really good game. Clippers at Bucks. This is fucking great. 3.5 point favorites are the Bucks at home against the Clips. Fascinating. I have no idea who to pick in that one. Maybe the Clippers plus 3.5, I think.
Yeah, that's the game that I'm going to be looking forward to watching on the weekend. And I don't know. I think the Clippers, if they're full strength, as long as they're not resting anyone, I think the Clippers are also a pretty unstoppable team at the time. At the moment, they're just so deep that, I don't know. It's going to be a close one. I'll take the Clips if you're taking the Bucks.
I'm going to take the Clips plus 3.5 because I think they can throw PG and Kawhi at Giannis if needed. And yeah, I feel like that might be right. Kings at Spurs. Kings, 4-point underdogs going into San Antonio. That's an interesting one too. There's some really good lines on these ones. So I might take the Spurs at home, minus 4. They got that big win against Houston. Maybe that spurs them to greater heights. What do you reckon?
Yeah, the Kings just have a few too many injuries at the moment with boxing that out. But yeah, maybe Buddy Hield will go crazy and hit 10 threes again or something. But yeah, I'll take the Spurs.
I'll take the Spurs, dude. Lakers at Blazers. Finally, this is the last game tomorrow. Your Portland Trailblazers hosting the Los Angeles Lakers of Los Angeles, California. And your PDX Pete, Portland Trailblazers, are 3.5 point underdogs at home against the Lakers. Who do you like there, Pete?
Results aside, I'm going to take the Blazers, obviously. I just can't, as a Portland fan, fucking take LA. It doesn't matter what the results are. It doesn't matter what the standings are. It doesn't matter who they have. I can't do it. So the Portland Trailblazers will win at home.
That's awesome. All right, let's fly through just head-to-heads for the rest of the way. Pelicans at Dallas. Who you got there?
Dallas.
Dallas, me too. I've got that. Cleveland at Philly. I'm going to take Philly.
Philly.
Indy at New York. I'm taking Indy.
Indy, absolutely.
Yeah, Phoenix at Houston. Pretty fun one, but I'm going to take the Rockets, even though I don't want to watch that.
I'll take the Sun. Nice. I reckon they might pull it out.
Yeah, not much defense going to be in that one. Utah host the Memphis Grizzlies. Jazz are reeling, but I think that's a good, nice get-right game for them.
I 100% agree. I think Utah will bring that back.
Nice one. Brooklyn, then on Monday, Australia time, host Denver. I might take Denver in that one. Brooklyn might shit the bed pretty handily.
Agreed, Denver.
Yep, Atlanta at Charlotte. Oh, that is a rough one. I might take Charlotte there.
Yeah, unless Trae Young goes for 45 or something, yeah. Mm. I think Charlotte are going to run away with that one.
That is, it's always a possibility, Atlanta, to drop 150 on somebody bad, but yeah, I'll take Charlotte at home. Miami hosts Chicago. I think I'll take Miami.
Yep, agreed.
Toronto at Philly. I'm going to take the Raptors because Joel Embiid can't do anything against Marc Gasol, so give me the Raps even in Philly.
No, I'm going to take Philly. I think Embiid's just going to come out and try and show that, you know, he's better than that. And he just played shit last year. So
nice.
I'm going to take Philly on that one.
Clips at Washington. I've got the Clips easy.
Yeah, Clips for sure.
Sacramento at Dallas. I'm going to take Luka and KP, I think, over the Kings.
For sure.
OKC at your Blazers. The old Seattle versus Blazers rivalry there, Pete.
Yeah, no, I'll take Portland. I think it will be close, to be honest. OKC haven't been playing great, but I think they've still got enough firepower that they could make it close. But I think Portland are finally hitting their straps, which is nice. And, yeah, I think they'll get the win.
Yeah, depending on how they go against the Lakers tomorrow, that's going to be a fascinating game to see where Portland are at. And speaking of the Lakers, they then host Minnesota for the last game of the weekend. I'll take, this would be great, Anthony Davis versus Karl-Anthony Towns. I think I'll take the Lakers.
Yeah, the Los Angeles Lakers, unfortunately. Yeah. I will take them too.
Nice one. Holy shit, that's it. Pete, we did it. That's the entire show done. That's the week done. Going to go smash some cans and also look after a sick baby. nice one. Well, that's it. We're back Monday with all the usual dumbassery. Make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facey, IG, all over the socials, even on the weekend. You know that. Get around NBAAustralia.com. Check us a rating and review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, whatever app you use on your fucking Android phone. I don't know what it is, but it's all good. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, House Hats. Running out of time. Their debut album is out now, and it's the best Australian album of the year. Also, big thanks to Joshua De Laurentiis, Fascinator, Goldmines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, and Dozers. All the tunes you heard throughout NBA Australia, give them a smash on Bandcamp, Triple J on Earth, and Facey. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. And a big thanks for joining us on today's show for Fuck It Friday, PDX Pete. Thanks for coming on, man.
Mate, no worries. Can't wait for the next one.
Yeah, it was great. And best of luck to your Blazers over the weekend. And that's it. No skit to close out the week. I'm just too pressed for fucking time with the El Squiddo. So how about we just a bit of a bangers rerun. There you go. Cooking with Bainesy. Fuck it. It's fucking Friday after all, Pete. Just going to go fucking have a bit of a rerun. Legendary. All right. We'll catch us on Monday, dickheads. Have a great weekend. This is NBA Australia and PDX Pete saying Lederhosen.
Peace.
Cooking with Bainesy is filmed in front of a live studio audience.
And now it's time for Cooking with Bainesy with your host, Aaron Bangers Baines. Yeah, yes. Oh, thank you very much. Thank you, thank you. Oh, look at us over there. Oh, yes. I see you over there, Cheryl. You're here every week. Oh, love you too. Oh, love you too, hon. Yes, look at you. Oh, this is great. Oh, thank you. Come on. Oh, settle down. Oh, yeah, that's right. Thanks for that. That's ripper. All right, g'day. Welcome to Cooking with Bainesy, and I'm your host, Aaron Bangers Baines. That's it. Cooking with Bainesy. I love this. And in this here episode, we are going to whip you up one of my absolute favourite Australian classics that you can have whenever. You can have it for brekkie, you can have it for lunch, you can have it for tea. It is that absolute modern Australian classic. It's avocado toast! Oh, yes! That's right, it's an absolute Aussie classic now, mate. And after I got this recipe from a little mate, Deli, I love me some avo toast. And, oh,
Maybe not as much as my mate Dally, you know what I mean? But anyway, it's easy as, mate. I punch through enough of this that it definitely helps me keep up this physique, you know what I mean? Every brekkie I'm on this train, so I reckon you better jump on board. All right, so it is bloody simple, mate. All you gotta do is go down to your soupy and just grab a loaf of whatever bread you like to toast up. Me, I like a bit of multigrain. I like a little bit more crunch in my toast. Just like the screens I set for the Celtics, a bit of crunch is what I like. Then I grab a ripe old avo, grab a lemon on your way out, and away we go. All right, now, and this is very important. A lot of people try to do fancy shit to avo toast. And look, you can if you really, really want to get all fancy pantsy. You can put some goat's cheese on there. You can put some tomatoes in there. You can put a bit of red onion if you feel like it. Sprinkle some of that bullshit ducker, which I think is just fucking crumbs or whatever the fuck shit it is. But anyway, all you actually need to do is keep it simple as, mate. Toast. Avo. Bit of lemon. So it's simple. Fang your bread in the toaster. Then sit back, crack a tin, and let it all get nice and browned up. Doesn't matter what time of the day it is either. When you're cracking a tin and cooking with Bainesy, it's always time for a tin. So, now, slice up your avo, dump it into a bowl, scoop it out. Yep, there you go. Scoop her out into a bowl. Now, mush that bastard up into a paste. Just mush her up. There you go. Just mush her up. Fuck it. There you go. Yep. Now, once that's done, it's all mushed up, all nice. Get your knife. Now, your taste is done. She's popped up. Get your toast out. Now, slather that avo all over your toast about, you go 1 to 2 inches thick, I reckon. That's how I usually go, eh? Absolute, just smother it in avo. Beautiful, look at that. Then drizzle a bit of lemon on top, and away we go. Just bloody well, look at that. Put a bit of salt and pepper on top, and all you have to do then, get your bloody munch on. Oh, how good is that? It is an absolute bloody ripper of a treat. The best bit is, it's good for any time of day. Brekkie, avo toast. Lunch, avo toast. Tea, avo toast. It's just bloody delicious, mate. And look, of course, you got to make sure you get your avos when they're in season, or else you'll never be able to afford a bloody house. All right, how easy was that? Thanks to my little mate Dally for the recipe. And I hope yous all enjoy it too. All right, avo taste. Legendary. All right, tune in next week for a brand new recipe, and we'll see yous then on the next episode of Cooking with Bainesy.